What's your name?
What's my name? My name is my name.
All right, so tell me what you think about what's going on.
What I think
here.
About this yeah. is all the press and all the extra y'all do makes this worse.
You think so?
Yes. Me? When people want to protest, yeah. they shouldn't do it in front of a police courthouse. Like that. You get what the I'm saying?
I want you to be careful. I want you to be careful. I really
of what?
Do. Of anything that can
of
hit
what?
You. Of anything that can hit you. Look at
of
all the stuff.
What?
Of this.
Of what?
Of this.
Do it look like I'm scared?
No, you don't.
Do it
you
look
don't.
Like I'm scared?
You don't.
Exactly. Y'all need to get up out of here with all that twisting up the media ass shit.
Okay.
Real
you don't know me, but we
don't
get,
know
we're going to get to know each other. That's
You're
what we're going
to
do.
Know each other,
yes,
huh?
They're going to dox that guy. Just wait and see. They're going to dox him. Everything that his whole life is going to be out there on the internet. Just like wait in a matter of minutes. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. Germany. It's the social event of the season, everybody. It's the Minneapolis riots. Are y'all ready? Good night. So I'm like all tangled up. I'm going to set these wires on fire for the love. We can send a man to flipping space. We can't make crap wireless. I'm going to just the hell. Ah! All right. It's the social event of the season, though. Everybody get what you're going to wear out, right? Because it's kind of what it's like. Good heavens. Welcome to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com. Make sure you go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse. All good things. And you got a lot of stuff, actually, that came out last night. And yes, you should subscribe. It's literally less than what you're just going to, like, fritter away on a cup of coffee at Starbucks. It's $6 a month. I do all your homework for you. You know, support conservatives because you're paying a writer. So, you know, a writer over at the website. So, which we're going to be revamping. I just want to get into everything because we have FCC, the former FCC commish. This is the guy that I always, you guys thought I was joking around when I said, I got a contact at the FCC, so I'm pretty sure I can drop whatever bombs I want on air. And you guys were all worried about it. I should have just completely mowed through that when he was in office. Now that it's a new administration and he's not in office anymore, it's a little tougher. You know what I'm saying? You cost me my chance, Kane.
I'm happy with the path you've taken.
You cost me my chance. So he's going to be on, and I'll prove it to you that I had a friend there at the FCC. All right. So last night, the city manager, this story is, golly, the dude just called. All he did was say, can we have some due process? Due process is apparently dead in this country. So all the guy asked for was some due process. The city manager. That is not allowed. Brooklyn City, or the Brooklyn Center, fired its city manager. It just was not allowed. And this was, apparently the mayor has the authority to fire the police chief and police officers. I always thought that was the city council. But I don't know, maybe this is like structured differently. I'm not quite sure about their town structure. But the city manager, they were, apparently the mayor and the manager were publicly split over how, how it should be handled. Kurt Bogany, he was replaced with the city's deputy manager, Reggie Edwards. The mayor had said they were going to streamline things and establish a chain of command and leadership. So they gave the mayor the power to do all of that. So what ended up happening is that Bogany was simply saying, let's have a little bit, you know, let's have a little bit of you know, some due process. We have a way of we're going to handle this. And I guess it wasn't strong enough for what the mob, he was going along with the mob. So there you go. I just was amazed that this guy was fired over this. It's not like he went out and said anything. He didn't go out and say anything crazy. Because I thought for sure that he did. So I was like I was looking for it last night. I thought for sure that he had. Yeah, listen to this.
Racial profiling that happened in this situation. Mm-hmm. We are standing in solidarity and calling for the firing of this officer. Mm-hmm. You have talked about her having due process, mm-hmm. although Dante Wright did not get due process in that situation. She needs to be fired immediately to send a message that this type of behavior will not be condoned within the city of Brooklyn Center.
So that was right after he said that she'll get due process. And they're saying that he didn't get due process. But when you ignore a warrant...
Okay, well, hang on. Sorry, we'll get to all that. Stop speed rolling through the show. We got three flipping hours. Calm down. So the city manager gets canned simply for saying we'd like to have due process. It's mob rule. That's what we got to have. We got to have mob rule. All he said was, all he did was defended it. He just defended due process. Because you had people who were burning business. A dollar store, a damn dollar store got looted last night. So I wrote a big piece over at the newsletter, Chapter and Verse. Any subsequent pieces will be for paid subscribers. Because I got another one coming for you a little later on. And I asked this question, and I'm going to tell you right now, I get aggravated at the people who either side, who are either, oh my gosh, well, you just must love, you know, licking boots if you aren't as critical as the mob is. And if you criticize any policing incident, apparently that is interpreted as meaning you don't support police, which apparently there are a lot of people out there who are going to be getting divorced if they're married, because one disagreement apparently means total divorce, end of relationship. You don't love each other anymore. I didn't know that. So I asked the question, would Duante Wright be alive if he hadn't resisted, if the cop had more training, both or neither? There are a lot of really stupid people out there, I have to say. Someone's like, why didn't you give us the choice of either? Why don't you have reading comprehension above that of a three-year-old? Good heavens. See, we're never going to talk about this because everyone is so annoyingly politically tribal and reductive that you can't have any kind of productive conversation on policing. Two things. Cops should know the difference between their tasers and their guns. That's number one. Number two, don't resist arrest. So let's start with the most obvious. Okay. As I wrote in the thing, I don't care what the hell you think of the issue for which you are being detained slash arrested. Don't care. That situation is entirely irrelevant to me. Now, he was being served for a felony firearm charge. It was a warrant. He was underage and he was in illegal possession of a firearm. This is a felony. He was 20. He can be charged as an adult. So he was not stopped for an air freshener, Nancy Mace. I'm always amazed when I see Republicans start copying this ridiculous, like, BLM kind of stuff, you know? He wasn't arrested because of an air freshener. He was arrested because he had expired tags. That was according to the initial statement. That was according to the initial statement from police out there. He was detained because he had expired tags. And then when they ran his information, it came back that he had an open warrant. It was a felony warrant, again, for the firearms charge. She's backup. The cop who is identified, by the way, she is apparently been. It said that she has 25 years with the force. Almost 25 years. She's president of the Brooklyn Center Police Officers Association. She's represented other officers in similar situations. She was one of the first officers to arrive in a 2019 incident. She was apparently, and this, by the way, this has happened before in Minnesota, where this is somebody mistook a taser for a handgun. I don't even know how that happens. I say this as someone who has years of training under her belt. So I want to lay this out on the table, too. And I'm going to get to the resist. I want everyone to just calm down. Every time I talk about this issue, oh, my gosh. I want to make something incredibly clear. And I was pretty saucy about this last night. I said that I may not be a cop, but I have years of training under my belt. And it is absolutely a training issue part of this. But the idea that citizens cannot raise certain issues about policing incidents because we are just lowly citizens is anti-republic BS. And you should be rhetorically slapped in the mouth for it. I will come at you like a honey badger. The moment anyone tells me that a citizen cannot question anything in government, you become my enemy automatically. That is anti-republic. Anti-constitution. It is neither a conservative nor Republican position. Go ahead and go to Chaz. And I hope I am as harsh as I can be on that, because I'm done with it. That's number one. So he gets out of the car. He's immediately not complying. He jerks his arms out of the cuffs. And apparently the officer who was putting the cuffs on had no idea what handcuffs were. Handcuffs, how do they work? Let me take 5 weeks to put these handcuffs on you. I've seen babies go through shape sorters faster than that cop worked a damn set of handcuffs. Oh, no, I've watched cops. I've seen them whop, whop, slap them on. Like they come out of nowhere, like slap bracelets. Have you seen that? Jiminy. So he jerks his arms out of the cuffs, and he starts physically, forcefully resisting arrest. So here's the first thing. Don't resist arrest. Don't escalate or help to escalate a situation by not getting out of your vehicle or by jerking your arms out of cuffs when cops are serving a warrant for felony possession or by fighting with them while trying to get in your car to flee. If contest your warrant in court. Contest the entire idea of detainment in court if you want. Cops enforce the laws that politicians write. And if you dislike the law and you want to change it, fighting with the cop in the street is not going to change anything except for perhaps maybe your existence here on planet Earth. If you want to contest policy, do it with politicians or in a court of law, because police cannot and will not do a damn thing about changing the law or policy right there with you on the street. Whether or not you oppose or support the issue you are contesting is irrelevant to the goal of getting all parties on their way as peacefully as possible. That's number one. Number two, cops should know the difference between their tasers and their guns. Tasers are normally kept on the non-dominant side. They're a hell of a lot lighter than a Glock. I have all the Glocks, I know. Now, thankfully, most cops do know the difference between their tasers and their guns because we have millions of such situations like this a year, and they are rare. Thankfully, they are rare. The state of duress counts, true, but this is why, ladies and gents, which we're going to talk about later in the show, training exists. We have a lot of good cops out there, and I am ignoring the ones who arrest anyone over a lockdown order or seize firearms in a red flag situation that rob a respondent of due process in an ex parte proceeding. I'm ignoring that those at the moment. People don't rise to the occasion. They fall back on their highest level of training. And that is true. So I would like to know how the department trains, how they carry tasers, whether or not they're placed on an officer's non-dominant side so as to avoid weapon confusion. In the video, there was one. I could see the yellow grip on the left side of one of the officers. So here's the thing. We don't live in a police state, so we can back the blue and criticize bad enforcement of laws or overreaching policies related to enforcement when situations arise. Backing the blue means backing good men and women who carry out good policing. It is not a carte blanche endorsement of every policing decision, including bad ones. And again, anyone who believes that we forfeit support of police if we criticize rare incidents should all check in with us about that position if they're ever visited by the authorities enforcing Joe Biden's gun grab. Thank you. All right. We have a lot more on the way. Oh, I'm not done. I have like a frillion word newsletter. And we got a bunch of other stuff. We're going to talk about the United States of Chaz. Are you guys ready? Because that's happening. We're going to discuss all of that. Also, white people, have you seen the vax ads? They've been on Deadliest Catch. We're going to discuss all the other places that the administration could advertise their vax stuff for the white people. So we've got all of that. Oh, you don't want to miss it. We're full of urine and vinegar, but that's not the way that I would normally say it. Thank you. You're welcome.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
I want to play air drums, though. Bring back the Fontaines. So this, no worries with this headline at all. No worries, guys. This sounds totally okay. The Pentagon is developing just a little microchip that's going to just be implanted in you and detect the corona under your skin. Uh-huh. Yeah, medical researchers at the Pentagon, they've created just this little bitty microchip. It's just going to detect the Rona when you actually implant it in your person. They said that, no, we're not disseminating them with vaccines or via vaccines. The tech was developed by the Defense Advanced Research Projects Agency, and it operates under the Pentagon umbrella, which apparently sounds super spooky and like a Jack Ryan episode. There's an infectious disease physician and blah, 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 blah. It's a thing under your skin that detects stuff, and that's sketch. Just saying. But totally fine, though. No worries. I'm not going to spy on you at all. It's totally not the mark of the beast. It's okay. Yeah. Confidence is great. Wanted to mention this. Apparently, Hawaii is going to roll out a vaccine passport this summer. So if you want to go to Hawaii, you're apparently going to have to get vaccinated. This is according to a piece this morning from Forbes. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, anyway. The video with UFOs buzzing Navy warships, the one that leaked out, the Navy, like, very just, you know, anticlimactically says that, oh, yeah, those are real. They have no idea what they were. Yeah, those are real, everybody. The UFOs, they're real. Did they give us the chip to implant in the skin? I'm curious. Just, you know. And Japan's going to release treated water from Fukushima into the ocean. That's going to be fine, right?
The Biden administration keeps saying there's a challenge at the border, but not a crisis. If President Biden and Vice President Harris were willing to come down and see what I've seen, they would know it's a major crisis. If they were willing to admit it. I'm Sarah Carter. On the latest edition of The Sarah Carter Show, I'll give you the real story from my own reporting at the border, and I speak with Chris Cabrera of the National Border Patrol Council. Please join us. Subscribe to The Sarah Carter Show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry, your info is safe with her.
Members of our COVID team from Dr. Fauci and Dr. Collins participate in a range of meeting interviews. You know, an example is Dr. Collins participated in the 700 Club. Dr. Nunez-Smith hosted a faith leaders roundtable. We're also looking for, we've run PSAs on the deadliest catch. We're engaged with NASCAR and Country Music TV. We're looking for a range of creative ways to get directly connected to white conservative communities. We won't always be the best messengers, but we're still trying to meet people where they are, but also empower local organizations.
Hi, that's Jen Psaki at the press conference yesterday. She's trying to reach out to white conservatives. See, what you didn't hear in that is, and we've even modified our vocal delivery to how we think that white conservatives speak. So we was just advertising on the deadliest catch. And we was putting get y'all's vaxes on the side of the tractors at the tractor pool. We was a going everywhere where we thought that the white conservatives would be. Yeah, we're going to make fun of this for a minute because it's been heavy, right? Don't worry. We're going to talk about people burning everything down in Minneapolis again. We'll get back to it. Shh. I mean, are we sure that advertising during Deadliest Catch is going to put conservative white people vaccinations on the map? What about just like white people vaccinations, like, you know, in total? Are they going to sponsor a car at NASCAR and write on the hood, get y'all's Rona shots? I mean, if they were going for like all, like, white people, I don't know, are white lefties getting it, or were they influenced by Kamala? Because maybe they got the white lefty market and they could just like set up at the Toyota dealerships for Priuses. And so the lefty white people who love the idea of saving the environment by outsourcing all of the car exhaust and everything else to factory exhaust and actually incurring more pollution with a electric car manufacturer than they would an actual gas-powered car, but whatever, right? It's the idea of environmentalism that counts. They'll be lured inside by the slick virtue signal advertising. And then while they're waiting to pay for their overpriced power wheels, the vax lords can jab them in their weak beta arms and they'd be too weak to fight them off. Like that. Ooh. I was thinking of this, too. If they wanted to go after, you know, white people, what about like a modern furniture store? Or like, no, specifically a mid-century modern furniture store. Now, I myself am a furniture aficionado. So the difference between the modern and the mid-century modern furniture is that mid-century modern furniture looks like your grandparents smoked all over it. where modern furniture looks like the Jetsons stole it from your dermatologist's office. That's what it looks like. So the Vax Lords then can tell the customers that the needles that they are using for the jabs was made by Ray and Charles, or Charles and Ray Eames. You know, the people to do the Eames, and you guys don't know. Because you know why? Because you have taste. That's why. Somebody's going to get me for that. You know, they could also, if you wanted to go after the white conservative section, you know, why don't you just, like, put up a Vax distribution area in the Cracker Barrel gift shop? You know, and put some of them little flags all around it. Put it up next to the jawbreakers. Sidebar, don't eat the jawbreakers because they will break your ever-loving jaw. No, they don't play at Cracker Barrel. They're like, no, this is a real jawbreaker. Crack your damn skull. It's a jawbreaker. It really is. Ooh, here's an idea. If they're really worried about, like, the white conservative, or really even the crunchy white moderate demo, they could set up a table and administer vaccines in the camping section of a Bass Pro. Because on any nice day, you're going to find a herd of white people in the camping section of Bass Pro looking at all of the supplies they're going to need to pretend to be homeless for a weekend. And so, not all white people enjoy camping. Not all people enjoy camping. Some of us like the fact and are very happy with the idea that our human ancestors invented the house. And we enjoy that. What about hacky sack tournaments? Do people still play hacky sack? Where else? Advertising agencies. Advertising agencies are all filled with the your truth people, right? And they're all, they love, like the people who love the Priuses, they love the idea of increasing diversity in the industry. And they'll hire, like, CRT grifter agent, you know, the CRT grifter speakers, and they send out these company-wide newsletters about firing 50% of their workforce so that they can replace them with diverse hires, regardless of merit. And then the Vax Lords could walk into any ad agency lobby and threaten to say something politically incorrect and as ransom demand to inoculate everyone in there against the woo flu. So, I mean, these are just some ideas. Ooh, what about gator wrestling? Ooh, I know. I bet if you told people, would you like to get bit by a gator or would you like to get your Vax shot? What do you think people would do? I would say gator, but what about you? Just because maybe I could talk him out of it. Now, Steve got his Vax shot and we're waiting to see if he's growing any little nubbins out of that crook between his shoulder and head. To, that could be another head. So we're waiting to see. It like sprouts up like a mushroom. And then when it starts blinking, that's when you know you're in trouble.
Hey, Steve. It's your vaccine.
Horrified.
Not even saying anything. I think we made him mad.
He's going to sit there and simmer. Steve reacts the way like my kids do when I start. He just sits there and is like, he just sulks silently and just stares just like in disgust, like judging you.
No, I'm sticking I'm sticking in my back pocket for later.
That would be helpful. Okay, that's all right. That's all right. I remember that. I remember that you stick it in your back pocket. I'm going to stick you sticking that in your back pocket in my back pocket. How about that? Oh, man. Deadliest catch. We were on the we advertised on the 700 Club because you know why conservatives, maybe if they think Jesus told them to go and get the shot, that they'll go get it. Can you imagine? And you know I'm going to say this. If this in any way had been reversed in any manner.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Oh my gosh. We set up a Vax distribution area in that one aisle at Target. So while you're looking at these fake-ass conch shells that you don't need for your living room, we're just going to jab you with one of them Tarjay needles. That's what's going to happen. I was amazed at this. I was amazed at this yesterday. Good heavens. Whew. Oh, my gosh. All right. So I have a question. Are we saying now that, oh yeah, it's totally cool to forcefully resist arrest, especially when you have a felony warrant out? Are we doing that? Because I'm, you know, not asking for myself. Because I am a selfless person. Does what other things can we not do? We can just ignore now. I mean, I'm just, again, asking for a friend.
Due process is on the block.
Looks like. If due process is on the block, I should not have to stop at a four-way intersection if no one else is there. Okay? If due process...
You have to stop if no one's
there? I'm just saying. And do you always feel like when you come in those situations that you're almost like being tested? See, you come, it's like at night. Say you're working late or whatever, or you're out late, whatever, and you come to a stoplight and you're the only person there and that stoplight is like forever. Right. Do you ever just think someone's blanking with me? Or is that just me being totally paranoid all the time?
Yep, I do it all the time.
Do you? Mm-hmm. Okay, so why do we have to stop at those? If we're just going to take away due process, then where are my gimmies? Because I feel like I need something if you're thieving from me again and you're just dismantling the Republic. I'm just curious. So if we can just start fighting with cops because we don't wanna. I mean, is that how it's going to be if I get pulled over for a speeding ticket? Can I just, like a toddler, hang my head out the car? I don't wanna! And then just speed away down the road? Do what I want! Like Bobby from King of the Hill. I do what I want! Can we do that? Asking again, not for me, for a friend. Just, you know, I'm wondering. Because when I watched the video, it was, I mean, he was resisting. He was not only resisting, he was shoving back on him and he was trying to get back into his car and all kinds of stuff. And then you have the officer, and we'll talk more about that. But I just don't. If you dislike what you're being arrested for, you don't contest it there on the street. And that's not a bootlicking position. That's a do you want to get shot or not position. It's real simple. And if you dislike that that's the conversation, then contest it not on the street. Very simple. Contest it somewhere else. Don't do it at the time of the arrest. If you dislike that politicians wrote the laws that created this construct, then work to change it not at the time of arrest. So would Wright be alive if the officer had more training? I think, would he be alive if he had not resisted and tried to flee? Would he be alive then? Would he be, can't both of those things be true? They're not mutually exclusive. I've noticed that the gun control crowd is super silent about his felony possession of a firearm charge. Have you noticed that? I have. Yeah, he got stopped for expired tags. They saw the open warrant for an illegally possessed handgun when they ran his info. And then that's the way it is. Then that's what happened. I saw these. I put in the newsletter. There's just one of the most reductive, dumbest things I've ever seen. I don't even know. The Solidarity Party. Shut up. They go, the right has a tendency to offer individual solutions as a way to downplay or dismiss systemic problems. Yeah, do what police tell you is a pretty good advice most of the time, but it don't change the fact that we have a police violence problem. Okay, no one's saying do what people tell you. We're telling you if you want to contest it, don't do it at the time of the shooting. That's a big difference. And if you're too stupid to understand that, do us all a favor. Keep your lips closed. Just saying. Do us all a favor, because there's a lot of stupid out there. But yeah, this, I don't know how you mistake your taser for a gun. And you carry it on your non-dominant side. I think she freaked out. And I, no matter what it is, it comes back to a lack of training. Coming up, we're going to talk to a friend of mine who actually travels around the country, retired Special Forces, Bronze Star V for Valor, you know, highly decorated veteran who... That's what he does, is travel around the country and train police in de-escalation tactics, discernment training, all kinds of stuff, relearning muscle, good technique for muscle memory, all of this. And we're going to break down the situation and talk with him about this. Also on the way, the United States of Chaz. Have you guys heard about this? Rashida Tlaib wants the United States of Chaz. I know. Now let's just defund all the things. Hey, here's a question. What happens when you defund the police?
Training
Oh, the training goes away? No. It's almost like the two are related. You would think. So we've got that coming up for you. We're also going to talk about how in St. Vincent, that little island where that volcano was going off. Yeah, well, apparently in order to even evacuate and live, you had to have your, you had to be vaccinated. Did you know that? Wow, your expression. That was genuine. That was a gif. That was a gif. Not a gift, a gif. Mm-hmm. So we've got all of that and a lot more coming. Oh, we're coming up, so you don't want to miss anything.
Listen to The Dana Show on your Alexa by opening the app settings and linking your podcast service to your Alexa. And then say, Alexa, play The Dana Show podcast.
Make sure you sign up for that newsletter, chapter and verse. This story is crazy. I was watching a video and image and looking at images of that volcano in St. Vincent. And the prime minister of St. Vincent had said that evacuation by cruise ship was for vaccinated people only. Whew. Yeah. That was the big volcano. Enormous amount of ash and hot gas. This was early Monday. And the nation's prime minister said, okay, well, the cruise ships, that's only going to evacuate the vaccinated. Ooh, good night. So they said that, yeah, you need to get out, but you can't get on the cruise ship because then you got to have your vax pass. Oh, it looks awful, too. Just all the photos of everything just totally covered. Whew. So that sounds like a... That's a caste system. Oh, only the vaccinated can get out. That's only those people may. They're the only ones allowed.
So they feel as though the threat of the volcano is not as bad as the threat of COVID. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, apparently. It's unbelievable. For something that has, like, what, a 99% survival rate. We're going to talk about that Johnson & Johnson vaccine as well, because they're having a press conference about it at the moment. It seems kind of weird to me that this is how they're going about this. When you consider what the risks are for, like, a flu shot or, you know, a number of other things. And with this, it was what, like six women? It was like six people or something to that effect. So I think we're going to have to discuss this. So we'll get into that coming up. We'll also talk about United States of Chaz, the ongoing tension in Minneapolis. Don't go anywhere. More of The Dana Show coming up.
We have very good data from the trials that the vaccines are highly efficacious. But as you said, and as I've emphasized multiple times, Wolf, no vaccine in history is 100% effective. So even if you get 90, 95, 90%, 75% effective, that means that what you're going to see is there are going to be breakthroughs. And the more infections there are, the more breakthroughs you're going to see.
Hmm. Oh, boy. So that's Anthony Fauci. He's actually, having a press conference right now talking about their vaccine distribution rollout. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash. DanaLash.com is the website. Make sure that you all go and subscribe to Chapter and Verse. It's good to be with you this Tuesday. And one of the top stories today, folks, is this announcement that from the FDA and the CDC, they're saying that they have recommended a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. Now, this is the one-shot vaccine. They said that they have more than enough Pfizer and Moderna supply to continue the current pace of vaccinations of 3 million shots per day. And they're discussing this, I guess, I don't know how long they're going to pause it for. I don't see, And I was looking on my timeline to see if there's any. And I don't really see them. I don't really see how long they're going to pause it for. This, I mean, that's weird because there was a, I mean, they were just saying, what, last week that this was, you know, it was a great, this is a great vaccine, that it's, you know, the one shot, it's, I mean, just, it, I don't understand, like, what in the world they're having their, what, they get six people that said that they had blood clots, or they had something to that effect, like six people. 6.5 million. Out of, yeah. And I'm just, that just seems weird to me. I know that the Johnson & Johnson one, I think there was a lot of there was a lot of energy and a lot of expectation for that one, because the other shots, it's, you have to get two, it's a two shot thing, you have to get two shots, and this one was one, and so there was a lot of people were looking forward to having one shot. They were I think more receptive to one shot as opposed to two. It's just all very odd. So they're saying that it's a rare, you know, some rare clotting cases, and that's ultimately what's happening. They're having some rare clotting cases. That's what's happening. They said that Johnson & Johnson says it'll probably only last a few days. The pause. I don't know what that's going to do. If they're just going to evaluate the cases. They said that there were a small group of people out of the 7 million Americans in total who received the Johnson & Johnson shot that had developed a rare form of clotting. They said, we think it's going to be a matter of, you know, we expect it to be a matter of days for this pause. So they're going to try to inform medical workers how to deal with that type of clot if they encounter a case. And it's the venous sinus thrombosis, cerebral venous sinus thrombosis. It's a rare disorder. It requires a specific type of treatment, and that's one that I actually haven't heard of, that one particularly. So they said it's going to require a specific type of treatment, and this is just, I mean, when did they come out with the Johnson & Johnson one?
It was later than the rest of them. Yeah. It wasn't that long ago. I'm thinking like a month.
The type of clotting that it's called CVST, cerebral venous sinus thrombosis. And it's a blood clot forms in the brain's venous sinuses, and it prevents blood from draining out of the brain. As a result, blood cells may break and leak under the brain tissues, forming a hemorrhage. And then it can lead to a stroke. And it can occur in even like newborns. Good heavens. They said it's a rare, CVST is a rare form of stroke, according to Johns Hopkins. It affects about 5 people in 1 million each year. I don't know. I'm curious as to whether or not the risks for developing it already. And again, it's super rare. If that does increase, if you get the Johnson & Johnson shot, right? I'm just, you know, curious about that. But why does it seem? And to me, it's just why does it seem like it is a little bit. I haven't they had greater side effects with like flu shots in that? I mean, haven't they had greater side effects with other issues? I mean, wouldn't you, even though the risk of fatality from coronavirus is rare, isn't that still higher than getting this rare clotting thing with the Johnson & Johnson vaccine? I mean, I'm just asking. I don't know. There was a great piece over the Washington Examiner that said, for the first time in history, we handed the reins of control to the most risk-averse people in the country. That is true. I do think that there is something to that. And that's one of the things to keep in mind. That's why you can't really ever. I mean, they're just talking. They're looking at eradicating something regardless of whatever your rights are. I think that's something to keep in mind when we listen to some of these people. I mean, there's a lot of stuff. The Examiner says there's a lot of stuff when you look at six recipients out of 6.8 million who developed a rare and severe type of clot. So that's why the whole Johnson & Johnson thing is paused. Six people out of 6.8 million They reported blood clots that may have not even been caused by the vaccine. By the way, that's just in keeping with this this health issue without the vaccine. It's one for, what is it? Like every couple of million? So how are they even for certain that this is related to the vaccine?
They don't.
Now here's where it gets, it's going to get a little bumpy. Gear up. Because most of the vaccines that have been distributed so far have been by Moderna and Pfizer. Now, I don't think there's been any clotting, anything reported with those vaccines. But this is what, let me put this up. This is what Trump had actually tweeted out. He blasted the FDA for pausing Johnson & Johnson's vaccine administration by suggesting that Pfizer is behind the push to get Johnson & Johnson sidelined. Here's his statement that he released just a little bit ago. It reads, quote, "The Biden administration did a terrible disservice to people throughout the world by allowing the FDA and the CDC to call a pause in the use of the Johnson & Johnson coronavirus vaccine. The results of this vaccine have been extraordinary, but now its reputation will be permanently challenged. The people who have already taken the vaccine will be up in arms, and perhaps all of this was done for politics, or perhaps it's the FDA's love for Pfizer. The FDA, especially with longtime bureaucrats within, has to be controlled. They should not be able to do such damage for possibly political reasons, or maybe because their friends at Pfizer have suggested it. They'll do things like this to make themselves look important. Remember, it was the FDA working with Pfizer who announced the vaccine approval 2 days after the 2020 presidential election. They didn't like me very much because I pushed them extremely hard. But if I didn't, you wouldn't have had a vaccine for 3 to 5 years, or maybe not at all. It takes them years to act. Do your testing, clean up the record, and get Johnson & Johnson's vaccine back online quickly. The only way we defeat the China virus is with our great vaccines," end quote. What? Oh my gosh. Whew. So there you go. Yeah. Now, yeah, and Kane, what did you find? What, because you immediately go, what vaccine did Fauci take?
Right. And so I looked it up, and it turns out he took the Pfizer one. So I don't know if that has anything to do with what Trump had just put out as a statement.
Do I need to go get tinfoil?
I'd prefer aluminum, but sure.
I mean, I'm asking, do I need to go get tinfoil? Because dang, really?
Yeah, look at that. So I think he's got a financial stake in one of these, AstraZeneca, Pfizer. I'll look it up, but I know that Dr. Fauci is not completely removed from the vaccine game. Let's be real.
All the women were apparently between the ages of 18 to 48. And I don't know. I mean, is this increasing or decreasing trust with the public being forthright like this? Is this them trying to be forthright about everything, or is this political? I don't know. See, the problem with something like this is that you have a government and a media that really made it all, that made you distrust everything that they were telling you in the first place. So it's not like we started this whole pandemic trip with a lot of trust in our media or government anyway. So you really can't blame people for not really wanting to trust everything that they were hearing about this. Now, furthermore, if they're trying to go out and be transparent about it now and try to rebuild that trust with the public, I just don't know if that, I don't know if that's going to work. I don't know. I just, the whole thing, again, the women were ages 18 to 48. It was 6 out of 6.8 million. I mean, it's almost 7 million women. That's like 1 in a million, literally 1 in a million. But I think that we need to know, and I think that this is something we can and should ask for. And I don't think anyone asked this of the press conference that they just had at the White House. Well, what is the medical? Can you tell us without telling us their identity? Because I think it's the public deserves to know about something like this. What were the other medical issues, with, if any, with these women? Were they on any other medication? Did they have any other medical issues? These are incredibly important factors if you're talking about using six people as the basis for pausing an entire line of vaccines.
Didn't we just hear Fauci say that no one vaccine is 100% effective? This doesn't look like it's out of the realm of where the errors in vaccines are.
Right.
So I don't know why they would pause it. That would be the only reason why I think it's political.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I just don't trust anything. I don't trust anything. I just don't. I know it's bad to say, but I just don't. The whole dang thing. I just can't, we'll talk more about this. I know we got a lot more coming up, and we're going to talk about the training aspect of some of the stuff here as well. So you don't want to miss it. Good heavens. It's just kind of a crazy day. Also, we got to talk about United States of Chaz, because Rashida Tlaib had tweeted yesterday, like late afternoon or evening rather. She says it wasn't an accident. Policing in our country is inherently and intentionally racist. DeWante Wright was met with aggression and violence. I'm done with those who condone government-funded murder. No more policing, incarceration, and militarization. It can't be reformed. Okay, so that's easy for her to say because she's in the Capitol surrounded by a fence and National Guard troops. So send all those guys home, all those girls and guys home, tear down the fence there, and go ahead and create your United States of Chaz. We'll talk about what you would expect with that. Ooh, does that mean SoundCloud Warlord? SoundCloud Warlord. Woo. All right. So we got a lot to get into. And again, we'll talk about the policing stuff and more coming up. Goodness. And then they're releasing the Fukushima nuclear plant water. Nuclear. I'll say it the Texas way. Nuclear. Back into the ocean, which means we're totally going to have kaijus. Right? We're talking about conspiracy stuff. Was this a coincidence right after Godzilla versus King Kong? I'm just saying. Patriot Mobile is a longtime supporter of my show, helping to bring you free conservative radio. This year, Patriot Mobile is bringing even more to my loyal listeners with expanded wireless coverage. If you've contacted Patriot Mobile before and they didn't have the coverage you wanted, I urge you to call now. Their expanded coverage also comes with even lower pricing options. As America's only Christian conservative wireless service provider, you get the broadest coverage of any provider on dependable nationwide 4G LTE networks with a company you can trust. Patriot Mobile gives back a portion of every dollar earned to support organizations in which you believe. Call now and receive Patriot Mobile's premier activation at no additional charge. Call the U.S.-based team at 972-PATRIOT or visit patriotmobile.com/Dana. Use promo code Dana for premier activation and a free gift. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana, promo code Dana, or call 972-PATRIOT. Patriot Mobile, their plans, your freedom.
It's the Dana Show.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
We are hashtag Team Major over here, because Major Biden. Oh my gosh, it's totally a verbal typo, and it stays. It totally stays. Major Biden, the dog, who's the Biden I like. He's going to receive training because he keeps biting people at the White House. First off, leave Major alone. Like, Major is more innocent than Hunter ever could imagine that being.
He's a pretty good dog. I mean, they're all Democrats.
I mean, I'm saying it's almost like Andy Pollack trained him. So, my far friend Andy Pollack, they said that they're going to be training Champ and Major, but particularly focusing on Major. Apparently, he nipped somebody while they were out on a walk, and he nipped. What does nipped mean? Really? A landscaper there at the White House. So I'm just saying, you know, I just think that give the dog a little bit of slack, right? I need to go back up to this because I didn't get all of this out. The California Senate committee is voting to make it easier to dox citizens who sign recall petitions. This comes from PJ Media. Yeah, they're this California State Senate Elections Committee. They're trying to out the identities of anybody that signed those petitions to recall Gavin Newsom. It's Senate Bill 663. Kind of unbelievable, right? Coming up, the training It's important that police get it. We're going to talk about that DeJuante Wright case coming up. Stick with us.
Check out all 3 hours of The Dana Show live on official Dana Lash on Facebook, youtube.com/The Dana Show, or channel 244 on Pluto TV.
There is absolutely no justification, none, for looting, no justification for violence. Peaceful protest, understandable. And the fact is that, you know, we do know that the anger, pain, and trauma that exists in the black community in that environment is real. It's serious and it's consequential. But it doesn't, will not justify violence and or looting. And so the question is how we, in an orderly way, make clear that they get down to a full-blown investigation to determine what the facts are and what is likely to have happened.
Yeah, that's the president, too. That was kind of a, I guess, a more toned down response from him. It's not what I thought it would be. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, and that was the president talking about DeJuante Wright and that case involving Minneapolis police. If you get the newsletter, I went through that with you last night. We've been talking about it on the show, but for those joining us, to recap it, some of the big points is that he was originally stopped for having expired tags. When police ran his info, they discovered that he, a 20-year-old, had a warrant for felony illegal possession of a firearm, which, again, felony, you're looking at a big fine and some prison time that exceeds that of 1 year. And so that's when they approached the vehicle and they were going to take him into custody because he had this felony warrant out. Now, you saw in the video, and I won't play the one where he ended up getting shot, because that's, you know, there's certain things you can't unsee. And if you want to see that, you can go to the newsletter and watch. But I watched the whole video. I was looking at it frame by frame, even, because I was curious as to what side they wore their tasers on, because normally that's non-dominant, and then your sidearm is on your dominant side. And the female officer arrived as backup. The one officer took some time to get him in handcuffs, and it was at that point where Wright then jerked his arm out of the handcuff and then was forcefully resisting, physically resisting, pushing against police, getting back into the car. And at that moment, the female officer was yelling, "Taser, taser," but she drew her service weapon, she drew her pistol, and fired one shot, striking Wright, who drove away. He was shot, but he crashed into another vehicle, and he later died. So this, now where we are, is we've had riots. Everyone was calling for the firing of the officer. There's a lot of stuff that is involved in this, and one of those is police training. And when I was watching this video, one thing that I noticed is that the female officer was the only one that had drawn her firearm. She was the only one who drew her firearm. None of the other officers had their firearms drawn. In fact, I think there was one officer towards the end of the video when I was like literally pausing and stopping and looking that had a taser out. And the taser had the yellow grip. That was the only, from what I saw, none of the other officers had their guns drawn. And so we don't know what the penalty for this officer is going to be. The city manager was just fired yesterday for saying that there should be due process. And that's literally all he said. He didn't say anything that was, you know, insane. But two things that happen here: don't resist arrest. And I think cops should know the difference between their taser and their handgun. And my guess now, I thought, would be, he's trained police. Jared Ogden is the CEO of Triumph Systems. And we've talked about Triumph before. You can find them at triumph-systems.com or follow the URL that's there in the lower third. And Jared Ogden, of course, he's a retired Navy SEAL, Eagle Scout as well. And he's a decorated veteran and Bronze Star V for Valor. He founded Triumph Systems in 2015. And of course, he works with law enforcement now. He trains for discernment, de-escalation, and response tactics. And he joins us via Skype. Jared, it's good to see you. Thanks for your time.
Good to see you too, Dan.
Okay. We may have his screen froze because he's making a very serious face. So we'll reestablish that. But we got him audio anyway. Jared, let me first ask you, did you watch this video of the police engagement with DeJuante Wright? And if so, what were your initial takeaways from it?
I did watch the video in its entirety. So I got the dash cam perspective, the body camera perspective. And the first thing that I thought was, this is exactly what happened in Ladue, just outside of St. Louis, a few years ago. Mm-hmm. Actually, very close to my wife's brick and mortar store at Schnucks Grocery Store, the cops were called for someone suspected of shoplifting, and a 20-year experienced veteran police officer responded and intended to tase the suspect, who was not listening. And instead of drawing her taser, she drew her pistol and shot the alleged shoplifter. So that's the first thing that I thought of. And the reason why is we see these types of headlines all too often. And in my opinion, this really comes down to a training issue. If you want to address the problem, if you want to address the root cause, it's a training issue. That officer announced that she was going to tase the suspect. What I think that she was experiencing in that moment, which all of our law enforcement, they don't know what they're going to encounter during a traffic stop. They don't know what they're going to encounter when they put on their uniform. And it could be routine, or they could enter into what I call combat stress. And combat stress is not when you go to Starbucks and the barista messes up your latte, okay? That might stress out a lot of people. Or it should be a 5-minute wait and they messed it up, so now it's 15 minutes late and you're running late to your spa appointment. That's not combat stress. Combat stress, it simply put, is fight or flight. And most people, thank God, don't know what that is, but I do. And these officers, they respond to situations and they find themselves in these combat stress events. And simply put, they're not trained. They're not trained to deal with that.
Yeah, that's a very big point. We're talking with Jared Ogden, retired Navy SEAL and CEO of Triumph Systems. And not only do they make targets, which are really cool, you should go check out, but also he goes and he trains and he advises police departments who need it. Because these situations, you know, you mentioned the stress that comes up. That's what I hear. And I understand that, you know, there are millions of these engagements or millions of stops every year, and that these instances are rare. And you shouldn't have to preface, you know, analysis of this situation by always having to acknowledge that. That should be understood. But with something like this, that's when that muscle memory comes into play. Now, you've always said you don't rise to the challenge. No one ever rises to the challenge. You always fall back on your highest level of training. That's when that muscle memory, that's when your training will carry you. And I just don't know how, when you have your taser on your left side and your handgun on your right side, I guess it was just, I don't know how long she's carried a taser. I think that information should be made public. But I mean, that, I guess that duress, my question is that duress, is that going to be enough to where you can't even tell the difference from the weight of the taser from the weight of the handgun?
Well, good training should address that, but let me first explain what combat stress feels like to the individual experiencing it. So first, you go from a normal resting heart rate to over 200 beats per minute. So you've got this adrenaline flowing through your body very, very quickly. And one of the first things that it does is it deteriorates or degrades a lot of your sensories, a lot of your inputs. So you won't feel things that you would normally feel. A scratch, even a flesh wound, a gunshot that just is a through and through. You will not feel those things because it's not necessary to your survival. When you look at what you hear, it's called auditory exclusion. You do not hear everything that is going on. And when it comes to your vision, tunnel vision, it goes from wide periphery to you're looking through straws. So on a physiological aspect, that is what the person is experiencing. And so now the officer in this case is expected to process this flawed information and make a decision. So now the decision is made, which this whole OODA loop has been extended, if you're not stress inoculated, to do what they have decided to do. The problem is now your motor skills are largely deteriorated. That's just the way it is when you're in a fight or flight situation. The good thing is that there's an answer, and it's called training. So everyone is talking about the vaccine. The vaccine is, it's inoculation. It's introducing the body to a very small amount of this virus so that if in the real world you encounter it, Your body recognizes it, and it can better and more effectively fight it. You apply the same principle to training law enforcement through stress inoculation training, and it addresses the decision-making aspect. It addresses, you know, the tunnel vision, the auditory exclusion.
Right.
It makes you think faster and do better, perform better under stress.
So let me ask this. How much training does one have to undertake in order to develop the, at least the skills to fall back on that you can deal with that kind of situation in the context of policing? Because, you know, we're in this era where everyone's calling to defund the police. Well, defunding the police means also defunding training. Realistically, what are we looking at with in terms of how much training law enforcement should have? Because you would rather have these skills and not need them than need them and not have them.
100% correct. And there's no number of hours or number of repetitions answer. It's a little bit of a gray area, but that is why it's necessary to train to a standard established objective. And if that objective is met, great. And if it's not met, then you're not competent to be a cop. You know, at the end of the day, I look at the situation. I don't know the details. They're going to sift themselves out through this, through due process. At least that's how it should be. But, you know, looking at it initially and seeing some of the other incidences that happen across our country, a lot of these things could be prevented with, you know, training to an objective standard and with making policy changes. And despite the fact that this debate with law enforcement training reform has taken a center stage, is in the spotlight of the national debate about law enforcement training reform, nobody has come up with a solution until now. I can't say much about it, Dana, right now, but later on in the year, Triumph Systems is on the cusp of bringing to market this truly innovative training tool that addresses the implicit bias and the mitigation, the de-escalation, and making that the default action of the police, of making better decision making, arriving at a situation and quickly assessing what's going on and determining threat versus no threat, things like that.
Yeah, and that's so unbelievably important. We're talking with Jared Ogden, retired Navy SEAL, CEO of Triumph Systems. Jared, you've last quick question for you. You've traveled around the country because you work with law enforcement. You advise them, you work with them to increase their discernment, knowing threat or not threat, you know, faster to be able to implement fast judgment, correct fast judgment, and de-escalation tactics as well. What have you discovered when you, with all of the law enforcement that you've worked with? And I realize that, you know, obviously the training that you've gone through is different from what, you know, they're as police, what they go through. But, you know, there's at the same time, there are a lot of things that you and I think military, without militarizing the police, developing that quick judgment, the discernment, the de-escalation, those are huge things that I think that our police departments could really benefit from. In working with them, what have you discovered their skill level is in those areas?
Well, having traveled the nation and training with a lot of law enforcement, I see a systematic failure from top to bottom for the law enforcement officers to be provided with the training that is necessary, because you hit the nail on the head. It takes repetition, and repetition leads to muscle memory. Muscle memory leads to instinct, and instinct is the right, is the instinct is to make the right decision before you can articulate how you arrived at it. And in these split second life or death situations, that is what you need to do. You have to default to your level of training, like you said, because you just don't, this isn't the movies. You don't rise to the occasion in these situations. And, we have a solution at Triumph Systems for this. If you don't follow us, go ahead and follow us, because we have some pretty amazing updates that we will be sending law enforcement nationwide towards the end of this year.
That sounds great. Jared Ogden with Triumph Systems. We appreciate your service to the country and to the country still, Jared. Thanks so much, my friend. Godspeed to you, and we'll talk with you again soon.
Thank you.
We have more to come, folks, and that's super, super important. And make sure you check out Triumph Systems, triumph-systems.com. A lot of good stuff up there. I mean, full disclosure, I use their stuff, and My husband works with them as well. But we've now watched this company grow. And out of all of the needs that we have in our nation right now, this is one of the most absolute important ones. And it does come back to training. And a quick note, too. The training, that is the responsibility of the city council, the community that elects the politicians. They determine their taxes. They determine where their budget's going to go. So you can't entirely blame all of that. If you're not happy with the level of training that police are getting, then you need to look at your community as well. What resources are you providing them to make sure that they are able to meet their potential in that regard? This is, it takes a village. And I think everyone needs to realize that.
Follow Dana on Twitter at DLash and official Dana Lash on Facebook.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Wait a second. I lost my rundown. I've lost all of my stuff. I've lost all of my things. I can't find anything. I have like the most stuff of anybody ever open. Here, I got it. Okay, I got it now. Bear with me. Thank you for your prayers. I appreciate that. Thank you. Okay. This is the story that I've been waiting to make fun of. I really almost was going to put this in my newsletter because it's so ridiculous. Kimberly Kessler, Florida woman. She was tasered because she was throwing feces on officers at jail. Oh, my. So she's awaiting trial. First off, she's accused of killing her coworker at a Nassau County salon. And then, so she's in jail. This is on Monday. And she was tasered because she was throwing feces on corrections officers at the jail. So they asked her to move to another cell so hers could be sanitized. She took feces that she saved in a styrofoam cup and threw it at them. They stunned her. And this is not the first time she has thrown feces in jail. Apparently, she is every single time she's been in jail, which according to News4Jax is quite a lot, she's done this. Now, she's also been going on episodes of starvation and binge eating. She was 74 pounds last October. Oh. And they go, no, it's not mental illness. She's just basically like she's that manipulative. They said it's actually they evaluated her. A mental health professional did. And they said, no. It's just so cool, boy. Stay with us. We got a lot more in store. It's United States of Chaz. You go, girl.
Your parent wants to talk to me about their profession and their opinion on their profession, I would love to hear that. I know very little about anything else in the world other than education, okay? However, if your parent wants to come talk to me about how I'm not doing a good enough job in distance learning based on what you need as an individual, just dare them to come at me.
Ooh. Oh, oh my gosh. Oh, if this woman was my kid's teacher or if she had been my teacher when I was a kid. Oh, my. Or I have a feeling some of y'all's moms would be dealing with this or you. Welcome back to the show, everybody. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Quick note. We're going to have and I'm going to correct myself. And I don't know why I thought he was former, but he's current. So I can still probably try to test my luck. We're going to push it and see what Kane does. Brendan Carr, who is the FCC commissioner, he's going to be joining us. The guy who regulates what I can say on air. When can we say, "Perp," Mr. Commissioner? So I'm joking. We're going to talk to him about all kinds of stuff. So you don't want to miss that conversation. Good guy. All right. So this is Alyssa Pirro, the audio that we just played for you. That is a California teacher. And okay, let me do something rare. Let me do something rare for a moment, okay? Right. I'll swear I'll bring the tugboat back to shore. Just let me take it out for a second. So I understand that Ms. Alyssa Pirro is from San Marcos High School. She's raising her voice at some juniors during a virtual lesson over Zoom. And she is referencing an ongoing lawsuit that's launched by a coalition of parents against Newsom and six North County school districts. They're looking to ease restrictions and an accelerated turn back to classrooms, etc. And she says, if your parent wants to talk to me about their profession and their opinion on their profession, I would love to hear that. But if they're going to talk about how I'm not doing a good enough job, well, you heard her. And she was aggressively yelling at another student inquiring about a white student union. You don't need a white student union, Jace. You get everything the teacher said. So I get it that maybe she's stressed. I don't know. Maybe she's not. I mean, she's been, you know, who knows? That's as far as I can take the tugboat. I got to race it back to shore. I'm sorry. I can't.
I was going to say, I mean, talk about stress. And she made a mistake because she's stressed. Mm. I mean,
why don't you talk to some of these parents who are trying to pay bills? By the way, they're still paying your salary. You're bitching about doing your job. And these parents are still, they're paying your salary. So first and foremost, you're an employee. If you don't like the classification of being an employee at the hands of these hardworking taxpayers, then by all means, go and get yourself another job that is not a government job. So you are not on the teat of the public and you are not having to make your living by the taxpayer. If this was a teacher that had lectured my children that way, you bet your sweet cheeks I'd be down at that school. I've been down at school for less. I'm not that kind of a mom, but there are certain things I'm like, you deal with your stuff, kids. And then when it gets to grown folks' issues and it requires some grown folks to handle it, then I'll come down and I'll handle it. School loves me, though. They love me for the most part. No, I'm kidding. I like our kids' schools. But can you imagine if this said, my mother was at my elementary school. Okay, sidebar. And then I'm going to get to this other thing. First grade, Festus Elementary School, Festus, Missouri. I don't even remember what this teacher's name was, but she had short red hair and she wore the long teacher skirts. You know what I mean? Like it had the small waist and then it was belted and then it was, you know, like a 1950s T length. We had a book cart. Loved the book cart. I always loved reading. I was in the advanced reading group. I love reading. I used to read in the bath when I was a kid. I would read. Oh, my gosh. All my books were marked up and like ruined from water and everything else. And I always looked forward to the book cart because I always got really good grades throughout the week because we really couldn't afford a lot of stuff. So if I wanted to get books at the book cart, I had to like get the stickers and do all this stuff. The book cart came like once a week or once every other week. I can't remember. And I was really excited. The book cart came and I was always in the first group because my grades were good and I didn't need all the extra time on homework. So we would have like a free time during class. And I was so looking forward to going until this little redheaded girl named Trisha lied to my teacher and said that I said a cuss word about the book cart. And without even having due process, I was forced to remain at my desk while this juvenile delinquent was allowed to go to the book cart despite the fact that she bore false witness against me and defamed me, costing me the opportunity to go to the book cart. I was livid. When I got back home, I said something to my mom because she was like, what book did you get? I'm like, I didn't get a book. I worked hard all this week. I respond to positive reinforcement. I got all the stickers. I did my book report stuff. I got all the checks. I got exactly what one needed to do in order to get a free selection at the book cart. And I was robbed of my chance by a redheaded troublemaker who lied about me and defamed my character. I didn't say it like that, but, you know, pretty much. And I told my mother, I said, I don't know what I'm going to, I'm just very upset about this. So my mother said, all right. And she used to perch a cigarette on her bottom lip before my kids shamed her out of smoking, like John Wayne would. And she would just, like, when she would talk, it was like, it would just bounce. And it was a skill. She's like, all right, I'll drop you off at school in the morning. I'm like, no, I'm thinking, that's not what that means. So we go to school. She's like, I'm just going to go in. I'm going to say hi to your teacher. I'm like, okay, that's not what that means either. So we go in and she tells me, we get there early. And she tells me to wait out in the hall. And she invites herself into the classroom and closes the door behind her. And it was quiet for like a minute or so. And then I heard a raised voice that was not my teacher's. And it was calm, but it was loud. And then a couple of minutes later, the door opens. And my mom asks me to come in the class. and I go in the classroom, and I'm the only student there because we got there that early. And my mom looks at the teacher, and because apparently they already figured out how this was going to go, or my mom did. And the teacher goes, did you or did you not say a dirty word about when we were getting ready to go to the book cart? And I said, I absolutely did not say a dirty word. Trisha lied. She lied. And I'm like, and she should bear the consequence. So I got to go because it was in another part of school. They sent one of the principal's aides, and they walked me to the book cart later on that day that was in a different part of school. And I was able to select a book. Still never forgave Trisha for that. She did get in trouble because she was not allowed to go to the book cart for the next two times. And I was like, yes. Because, see, sometimes you need grown folks to handle stuff. So I look at this teacher, and she's saying this to a bunch of junior high school students. I'm like, okay. That's inappropriate for her to do. You're an employee. You don't be venting to kids like this. This isn't a part of your job description to vent and yell like this to children. They are juniors in high school. She's being a bully, and the parents are correct. And some of the stuff, because apparently there are a number of videos shared to Facebook about this woman. She says, I'm so sick to my stomach of parents trying to tell educators how to do their job. Well, let me tell you, Alyssa Pira, what I'm sick of. I am sick as a parent of having to pay tax dollars and not getting the return on the forcible investment that the government has stolen from me. I am sick to my stomach of having to pay public school tuition and then tuition of wherever else I send my children. I, Alyssa Pira, am sick to my stomach of having to endure the progressive mindset and constant brainwashing BS that you call education, and having children endure this day in and day out because teachers' unions. I'm so sick to my stomach of it. And I'm sick to my stomach of individuals who think that they are a protected class because they work for the government. And as of such, they get to lecture and they get to condescend and smear and treat cruelly the very taxpayers who make their entire financial existence allowable. That, Alyssa Pira, is what I am sick to my stomach about. I hope she was read the riot act by those parents. United States of Chaz. So Rashida Tlaib, Congresswoman Tlaib, had tweeted about how we need to apparently defund all of the police except all of the policing that currently surrounds the Capitol building, including the fencing. She wants to, I guess, turn it all into Chaz. That's really rich how she was saying no more policing, incarceration, and militarization. It can't be reformed. What can't be reformed? I mean, if you compare the bad incidents, and this is where I do get, just basic fact. Facts aren't going to fall in one box or another. The facts are the facts. It is a rare situation. I think the cop in the Duante Wright situation, that case needed more training. I also think he should not have resisted arrest violently. Wow, both things can be simultaneously true and not mutually exclusive. And also, if she doesn't want any more policing, then what she's talking about is nationwide CHAZ or CHOP. Do you remember CHAZ, ladies and gentlemen? CHAZ was the autonomous homeless encampment that was run by a SoundCloud warlord that handed out AR-15s from the trunk of his Prius. It's not even an exaggeration. You can't write that. That's real. Remember? And they walked around their little armed militia intimidating anyone who came into their autonomous patchouli stench. Even reporters. Oh, and do you remember there were people getting murdered at CHAZ? And do you remember when they tried to garden? That's what she's talking about. United States of Chaz. Good heavens. Good heavens. So I'm just saying. I don't think anyone wants to live in that kind of environment. And by the way, these are taxpayers who determine this. Taxpayers decide this. She's a congresswoman. She deals with federal issues. The state lawmakers deal with the state issues. Whew. All right. We have more to come, including coming up. We're going to speak with the FCC commish. I'm curious about all of this, everything that's happening. We have the infrastructure plan. They're talking about broadband. What is that? Everyone needs broadband. You see this? This is literally infrastructure. Racism is infrastructure. Wait, what? I'm just making fun of Joe Biden. So we got a lot to come into.
Dana Lash, your social media debate teacher. Do your homework by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five, brought to you by Caltech.
So we're getting now news that the police chief in Brooklyn Center has also, he's out as well. Was he fired or, I mean, this is all just coming in. We're going to figure that out.
I think he resigned.
He resigned. Now, remember just a little bit ago, I was telling you how the mayor of Brooklyn Center there in Minnesota, the mayor was like consolidating the power. So he ultimately, because where I come from, it's a city council that handles this stuff. But apparently he was consolidating power so that he could determine the hiring and firing, et cetera, the police chief and the city manager and et cetera, et cetera. So the city manager was fired for asking for due process. He was replaced by the deputy city manager. The mayor just had a press conference, and apparently now the police chief is out as well. So we'll follow that, and I'll continue to update you in tonight's newsletter as well. I know there's a lot of stuff that's happening with that. So just further and just more and more. Good heavens. I mean, what else is going to... And I still don't know if he was... I was actually looking to see. I still don't know if he was fired or if he resigned. And I think that's... Yeah, so, well, which also could mean... Fire, just, you know, and just an FYI. Also, let's see here. The U.S. budget deficit has jumped to a record $1.7 trillion this year. That's not good. I mean, remember when Republicans cared about spending also? Democrats never did, but remember when Republicans did? Apparently, Michigan, they're having a coronavirus surge up there with Big Gretch. The CDC director says the response to this, in a piece from Axios, is to, quote, close things down. So there, that might be something that Michigan goes through. Now, they're saying that their daily cases jumped about seven times from a low point in February, according to the New York Times. Now, I don't know how they're counting it. Remember whether or not they count cycle threshold or not. I don't know if they even, Florida does. I don't know if they include the CT count, but there you go. Biden is nominating the first female Army Secretary. I don't really care if it's the first female anything. Can we stop validating things with lady parts and just focus on whether or not they're better than everyone else, and that includes radio. Also, the Joe Biden, the White House has put its police oversight commission on ice. Now, remember, this was something that he promised during the campaign. But now that he's in office, suddenly it is no longer necessary. Very surprising. Coming up. The FCC commissioner, what is infrastructure? Is it broadband? Is it whatever you want it to be? We'll discuss.
How dare you be uninformed?
How dare you?
Let Dana get you up to speed by subscribing to the podcast on Apple Podcasts.
Where I'm prepared to negotiate as to how the extent of my infrastructure project, as well as how we pay for it. But if we get into a serious conversation about how to do that, I think everyone acknowledges we need significant increase in infrastructure. It's going to get down to what we call infrastructure.
Including what they call infrastructure. Yeah. So, and that was the president. Welcome back to the show. I'm Dana Lash, danalash.com. Everything apparently is infrastructure anymore, down to like childcare is infrastructure. But what about actual infrastructure, the things that we are all legitimately concerned about that does qualify as infrastructure? I do think that some are exploiting the new ground that we're on with tech and its relationship and definition as infrastructure, what is and what isn't. They're exploiting that as like this, the, as this loophole to include everything in with it. At least that's what it seems like. So infrastructure, like serious infrastructure to be concerned about, is not really getting a lot of money or a lot of attention in this infrastructure bill. And that's one of the things that we need to talk about, as well as, okay, so what about Chinese technology in our digital and for our technological infrastructure? That's a huge, we've talked about that on this show. I'm obsessed with this issue. Joining us right now, now we're all in our best behavior, everybody, because it's the FCC commissioner, Brendan Carr. And he's a very nice gentleman. I had the pleasure of meeting him. I think it was in D.C. One of the last times, Commissioner, I was in D.C. I had the pleasure of meeting you. Welcome to the show. We are very well behaved here.
Well, so good to join you. And we will steer clear of any F-bombs or anything that will get you in trouble. But I can give you one get out of jail free card. But that's the best I can do.
I told you that would happen.
I'm still cautious.
Commissioner, I know this is something that you've spoken quite a bit about. You've written about this. And I want to talk about the broadband stuff as well, because how we're doing it and how we're defining it obviously are two different things. But as it relates to communist Chinese technology, we've talked about the 5G and the foreign policy, national security ramifications. What are we doing in terms of technology and communication in order to limit having to rely on any contribution from China at all whatsoever, and just for our own national security's sake, keeping them out of any of that planning, out of any of that actual infrastructure going forward?
We really can't understate the threat that the Communist Party of China poses, and in particular, allowing their spy gear into our communications networks. And this is an issue that in Washington, D.C., I think both political parties were a little bit asleep on until a couple years ago when President Trump started raising the profile of this issue. So at the FCC, we took a number of steps to kick out Huawei and ZTE gear. Now, those decisions only went so far, though. It kicked out gear to the extent that it's paid for with federal dollars. So a carrier could put that exact same spy gear into the network today using private funds. And so I recently called for the FCC to close that glaring loophole and prohibit all Huawei, all ZTE gear that poses a security threat from getting into our network, regardless of the source of funding.
Yeah, that's incredibly important as well, because I mean, this is one of the reasons why I won't use Zoom. I won't put it on anything I own. That's the littlest step that I can make, because there's just some concerns. And I hear from people, Commissioner, that, people who object to it, they say, well, you know, is it really going to matter if we have this technology involved in whether it's, anything with 5G or this spyware, et cetera, because, I'm not doing anything, day to day. Most American people aren't doing anything. We're just living our lives. But that's really not the ultimate point. And because this does affect every single American. And it's not so much whether they're watching someone, check out the latest season of Jack Ryan, the series. It's, there's more to it than that. Correct. Obviously,
the threats come in at a lot of levels. So, for instance, there was some data that was being sent from California to Washington, D.C. And in that route, there was an entity owned by the Communist Party of China. Well, that data got rerouted through Guangzhou, China. And the California to Guangzhou to D.C. route is not the most efficient or direct route of moving traffic. I was up in Great Falls, Montana. This is, big sky country. Dotted throughout Montana are hundreds of intercontinental ballistic missiles. We keep them in silos up there. I met with Colonel Jennifer Reeves. She's in charge of that entire regime up there. And spread throughout that missile silo are cell towers running on Huawei gear. And they're able to pull in a lot of information from having that infrastructure up there in our fields. And even to your point, data on our cell phones. It's amazing the amount of information people still don't understand that your phone can collect and apps on your phone can collect. If you go into a taxi cab, there's barometric pressure meters in your phone that know when that door has closed. It knows how far you're going up in a building. So the threats are very, very real in terms of the amount of data, the different types of data that the Communist Party can collect if their gear is inserted in our network.
Goodness, that's all absolutely terrifying. Well, I don't. Good heavens. It's important that we're very vigilant on this. Moving over to infrastructure at large, obviously I've seen you tweet about it. You have a piece also, which I want to discuss over at The Hill. You wrote an editorial about broadband, and this is one of the things that's been included as infrastructure. I think it's probably fair to say that broadband is infrastructure. Whether or not we're going to regulate this stuff as a public utility is a whole other discussion, perhaps. But the $2 trillion American jobs plan, as you wrote about this over at The Hill. Talk to me about this, because so far, from what I understand, like, they had all of this reserve cash for expanding connections, for subsidizing internet service and all kinds of stuff. But apparently not as where's the money at? Because none of this has actually gone into effect.
You're exactly right. So at the FCC right now, we have over $40 billion that has either been set aside or budgeted through an FCC vote to bridge the digital divide. That's supporting high-speed internet builds to rural communities that have nothing today, and that's subsidizing service for low-income Americans that can't afford it. Not a single penny of that $40 billion has gone out the door yet. And if you look back to candidate Biden, he had pledged a moonshot $20 billion for rural broadband. So right now we have sitting at the FCC double what candidate Biden pledged. And on top of that, there's hundreds of billions of other dollars available. But yet we're about to pour $100 billion more on top of these unspent dollars through Biden's infrastructure plan. It just makes no sense. The plan itself has other serious substantive flaws as well. But at a minimum, let's spend the money that's targeted. Let's figure out how much of a problem remains after we do that. Let's just not pour hundreds of billions of dollars on top of that.
Yeah, we're speaking with FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr. Commissioner, one of the other big topics of conversation that everybody has had as social media has grown, and now it's considered, I guess, popularly speaking, as a public forum, obviously, is big tech and Section 230 as it relates to facilitators of conversation, or whether or not they're acting as, you know, editorialists. I'm so torn on this issue, because I come at it from a very limited government, quasi libertarian conservative perspective, respecting private business. But at the same time, I also understand corporatist interests in suppression of expression through corporate means, which I don't want conservatives to labor under the assumption that it's only government that can suppress you. It can also be big corporations. Where do you stand in the FCC on this issue as it relates to Section 230? And what rights do private businesses have, like Twitter and Facebook, et cetera? But at the same time, they're still, which it kind of is a separate question, they're still enjoying protections that completely neutral facilitators would enjoy, as opposed to the publications, which is what they seem to be acting like.
I think you're exactly right. Big tech has more control over more speech than any institution in history. I think we're seeing a very biased application of the power. And you laid it out exactly right. The biggest challenge for conservatives is to figure out, how do we hold big tech accountable while continuing to stay true to our core principles? And I think we can do that. Some in D.C. have said, well, we just have to sit on our hands. There's nothing we can do. They're big companies and we love big companies. But those days are changing. I think now we're seeing a shift in the politics in Washington, where conservatives realize we need to hold big tech accountable, that they are a great threat to individual liberty, which is what we care about. Ensure that threat to liberty comes in the main from government, but increasingly large corporations with outsized power over our lives can do it. So I propose a path forward that would hold big tech accountable, that doesn't violate their First Amendment rights. And I think we can do it. We can bring transparency, we can bring accountability, and what I call user empowerment. And reforming Section 230 is a piece of that, because really courts have read Section 230 and given it an expansive definition. Justice Thomas has written about this a lot recently on the Supreme Court. So there is a path forward for conservatives to hold big tech accountable without violating our core principles of limited government.
Right. I think that's, and I love that you said also reforming it as opposed to repealing it. We're talking to FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr. Commissioner, and that's just a last bit on that. And the Clarence Thomas thing, I was reading that. I know that there's going to be a showdown over this at some point. But that really comes down to if you are a facilitator, because this all stemmed from internet comments. I mean, ultimately, that's how this all came about in the 90s. People didn't want to be held accountable for what commenters were putting on their websites. And that was in the days of the Wild West Webernets. And now you have Twitter and Facebook and those algorithms. I mean, that is a form of editing. So if they're going to edit, and that's ultimately, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, what your position is, if you're going to edit your edit content, be it through algorithm or another means, then you're not really presenting information. You are not a facilitator. You're basically just like any other publication. And, you know, the Washington Post has to meet one set of standards. So if Twitter's acting in the same vein as Washington Post, then they should also face the same sort of liabilities from unprotected speech the way that newspapers and magazines do if they're going to edit.
I think you have that right. Section 230 today operates as both a sword and a shield.
Right.
And the shield portion of it is pretty uncontroversial, that if someone else's speech is on your website, you're not liable for that speech, the person who said it is. That's pretty uncontroversial. The problem with Section 230 that a lot of people ignore is the sword element, which is their ability to take speech down and to actively censor. And that's a portion of Section 230 that, again, I think courts have misread. And you talked about the algorithms. 230 today basically says if a website is itself contributing to the speech, then it is their speech. Then they just are like the Washington Post. Again, I think courts have missed the game on that one as well. So I think we can move forward in a way that holds them accountable. Because this is so core today. I mean, right now, there are very serious attempts to drive political dissent out of the public square. And free speech has been in retreat. And so it's incumbent on all of us to stand up against sort of this culture of censorship, as well as the legal errors that have been made along the way.
Yeah. And a very interesting as well, how so much of this resembles that, just taking it back to China, how so much of it resembles that the credit scores that people receive for behaving, how much freedom they're allowed on some of these private platforms. FCC Commissioner Brendan Carr, we appreciate what you're doing to curb Chinese espionage and protect our digital, our technological infrastructure, as well as free expression against corporatism. We appreciate the fight and appreciate your time today. We'd love to talk with you again. Thank you.
Great. Great to join you. Thanks so much.
Of course. Take care. Godspeed.
Want a deeper dive into The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana Lash's chapter and verse newsletter by visiting danalash.com and clicking on the subscribe tab. Don't worry. Your info is safe with her.
It is safe with me. One of the things that we're kind of tossing back and forth about, and actually we were talking about this quite animatedly on break, is having some of these guests, and maybe like on a Friday, you know, maybe do like a longer interview with some of these guys, and then carrying it over and making it, you know, where you can watch the rest online. Because, you know, with somebody like the FCC commissioner, as I was telling Kane, oh my gosh, I had like a million questions. Like, you know, getting deeper into 5G, talking about, you know, digital security as a, not just a NatSec issue, but also, you know, as to be a digital leader and you know, get into the, you know, the manufacturing of some of this. I mean, and public utilities, like how are we, you know, if you start regulating the digital space and access to it as a public utility, what implication does that have for all the other forms of expression that are on this public utility, including podcasts and including, you know, there's like a million questions. And, you know, with radio, you have to fit it in your time frame. And it doesn't appeal to, you know, maybe that issue doesn't appeal to everybody. So that's one thing that we're actually considering doing, because I could have talked to the commissioner for quite some time, and he's great. And he did give me a get out of jail card. Did you hear that? Yeah. So we're going to save that. And that's going to be anytime anyone wants to get sassy with me, I'm just going to drop that. Like, I got clearance. I think because Brendan Carr did that, he must be protected at all costs. Protect Brendan Carr at all costs. The FCC commish. All right. So, I don't know. Someone shared this. Someone sent this to me, and I don't know. Steve, I'm sorry, but I thought of you. White Claw's launching a high alcohol hard seltzer for summer.
High alcohol?
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
Isn't White Claw somewhere around like 4 or 5% alcohol or something?
This is 8%.
Ooh. Double the dose.
One says blood orange and one says cranberry, I guess. I've never had one of these, and I don't think I will, but I just have not had one. I had someone handed me a healthy salt like spritzer once, and it was the nastiest thing I've ever. The only type of carbonated drinks I like are cola.
Really?
Yeah, I
you
can't.
You don't like the LaCroix, or you don't like any?
Only if I put a lemonade mix in it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I totally will put a lemonade like mix.
Because I've done that before.
It totally fizzes. Otherwise, I can't stand it. I can't stand carbonated water. Who drinks that? Who does, like, what is it? The sparkling water? That's not sparkling. It's nasty.
Like the soda streams?
No, soda stream's different. I love the fact that, because Pepsi's in the Georgia thing, now I feel like I got to do my own soda. So I started looking at Soda Stream. It's not made in China, so I feel good about that.
That's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I know, right?
I like that.
Now, can we just make constitutional carry in Texas okay? And can I get a moonshine still? Because I would like to be able to make my own moonshine. Texas, Missouri even has that protected in their constitution. What in the world?
How many other states have constitutional carry and not Texas?
Several.
17?
Yeah, there's a lot, and it's bothering me.
That's disturbing.
It's hurting me almost as much as it's hurting me that I'm disallowed to at least publicly say that I'm making moonshine, which I'm not right now because I'm at all. I'm a law-abiding citizen. Kane, today in stupidity.
All right, it's Chuck Schumer. Do we have even time to play this?
No, I've talked through all of it.
The power to determine what goes on the floor. The first bill, as I said, was bipartisan. Senator Wicker of Mississippi, Senator Sinema of Arizona, one a Republican, one a Democrat. So we would like to work with them, and we will try to work with them, but we have to get things done.
So basically, he said, we'll just push forward even without Republicans' help. Like, that's not bipartisanship.
There
sorry.
You go. Folks, that does it for us today. Have a great evening. I will be back with you tomorrow.